that led the Azusa Street Revival. He sat outside of a classroom. He was a black man. He couldn't go in there. Charles Perham, I believe it was having at Bethel School, something like that, Bethel College is what they called it. And they were there, and they were teaching on the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost originally met with them. And Perham had to sit out there. Seymour had to sit outside the classroom because he was a black man. But he sat outside that classroom, and he said he was so hungry for Pentecost that he found himself in an old building with his head tucked down between two crates. He was praying like 3 hours a day, and the Holy Ghost dealt with him and said, "Seymour, you're not praying enough." You convicted a little bit yet? I mean, just a little bit. And if you say no, then you're not saved. God guarantee His prayer life would have whipped all of us. And the Holy Ghost said, "You ain't doing enough, Seymour." Now, that's when the reasoning would come in with us. "Lord, what are you? I'm busy. Lord, I've got your family and wife." And I know we have to have common sense and wisdom in life, but there is time. The Holy Ghost is calling you past all human wisdom straight into the third heavens. And He's got something He wants to tell you. So after Seymour started praying 8 hours a day, man, we can't even keep our head up that long. I struggle with that. I like my naps. You do too. 15 minutes, all I need. Call them power naps. 8 hours. And the Lord began to tell him to pray. And as he was praying for 8 hours, that's where Azusa Street came from. I read behind a man that was writing about this, Frank Bartleman. Read his books. He's the one that was called the penman of Azusa Street, the penman of Pentecost. And there's a lot of things we could talk about there. But one man was recording this. He said, when you pulled up, everybody wanted to go to Azusa Street. Everybody just wanted to get there. It was in the newspapers. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People were being healed. Kids were being filled with the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. It was in the newspapers. People were getting newspaper articles across the oceans. They would read about it and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they had to get to Azusa Street. One man wrote it just like this. He said, "When I pulled up, I was astonished. I could barely get to the building because of the muddy roads." That would have been enough for some right there. "I don't want to get my shoes muddy, you know. I don't want to. He said, "You walked up to the building." He said, "You could tell that the building at one time had been on fire. It wasn't a pretty building. It wasn't nothing fancy." He said, "Years ago, it had been set on fire, and they were able to get the building for pretty cheap. So you could see the smoke and the fire damage on the outside of the building." He said, "You know, muddy streets." He said, "It was hard to get to." He said, "An ugly building." He said, "Did I come all the way here for this? Wherever this man was," he couldn't believe he came that far to this. He walks through the door. Dirt floors in some of the areas. He said, "Hot. The heat was unbearable. But the Holy Ghost was there." What I'm trying to explain to you is this. We have sacrificed Pentecost on the altar of convenience. We have. Pentecost in America has died 1,000 deaths in a lot of areas because of worldliness and convenience. I've already said this to you before. What's the answer to the worldliness? Is it Derek Jones? Who are you kidding? Pentecost kills worldliness. On the other side of that, worldliness will kill Pentecost. So what do we do, Brother Derek? How do we see revival? I'll tell you how we start. We start with getting a hunger for more of God. Amen. No, this is different, but it's all right. Just what I feel in my spirit. It's called off-the-cuff talking to you. There was another man by the name of William Durham. All the way from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. He walks in to Pentecost, Azusa Street. He was a man that really wanted to receive the baptism. And Seymour, the black man that was leading the meeting, he went upstairs to his room to pray. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "There's a man down there by the name of William Durham." He said, "He's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost." He said, "When he does, he's going to be a prophet to the nations. And everywhere he goes, everybody will receive where he preaches." Seymour come out of his room. William Durham's got his hand raised. He's speaking in other tongues. William Durham's the one that helped initiate the Assemblies of God movement. Hunger, desire, fervency. Gaston Cashwell, when he got over there, he went into Azusa Street and got mad at first. Why? Because a black man was leading the meeting. He stomped out of there, huffed up, went to his room, began to pray, and the Holy Ghost dealt with him right where he was. Next day he went back. He asked Seymour, "Can you pray for me? Because I need the Holy Ghost." What I'm trying to tell you is this. A divine hunger, this desperation for the presence and the power of God. It drives you past every stigma, past every prejudice, past every mentality, past every barrier. You know, there's a lot of barriers to the blessings of God in our lives. There's a lot of barriers to the blessings of God in our lives. For some people, it's a mentality. For some people, it can be a prejudice. For some people, I don't think the Holy Ghost is going to touch them or move this way or do that. You know what? All those things, the Holy Ghost wants to come into your heart. He wants to knock down every prejudice. He wants to knock down every wall. And He wants to tell you what you should think. Amen. I feel better than some of you feeling. I just can tell. Because this is the principle in our lives right now. What have you developed in your mind that's keeping you from the presence of God? What habits, what things in your life have you put in front of you? You say, well, Brother Derek, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. What are you talking about? What's in front of you in the Holy Ghost right now? Come on. Now, I know this is a challenge to you because I'm doing it on purpose. He says, awkward, good. The Holy Ghost loves that. Because we've got to admit some things. Now, if we are, I'm going to put this out here to you. And follow me. If we are saved, if we are sanctified, you claim those titles. What's the third element and why isn't it in your life? Now, because, let's go here. While we're here, we might as well cut the branch off while we're standing on it and we can all fall together and God can help pick us up. We believe in it. That God is a pure God. And purity is real, right? And I've heard it, I believe the definition Brother Glenn's used over the years, sanctification is our will is God's will, right? We agree, praise the Lord. Good definition. Is it the will of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost? Is your will God's will? Is it the will of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost? It is. Is your will God's will? The reason I'm saying these things is for a very important reason. We've got to admit some things. And the admittance of things is where God's going to meet us. Now, Derek Jones has to admit things. You have to admit things. It's in our honesty when God asks us questions that God meets with us. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I do. You know, I'm Peter. You know, I'm the rock. I'm the stone. I'm the one you... Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Why you ask me this question? Lord, you know I love you. All right, Peter. You're going to die for me. You see, often the Holy Ghost will pose questions to you. And the way that you answer those questions determines a lot of things. If you answer those questions right, which the Holy Ghost is always right, when you come into agreement with the Holy Ghost, He will meet you there and bless you there. Amen. But if you answer the questions wrong, and it doesn't matter if you have a prejudice or a stigma or whatever it is in your mind, and you begin to tell the Holy Ghost what He should think about you and what you really are, the Holy Ghost will let you stand right there and argue with yourself because He's right. You know, my dad used to do a little mind game with us. Son, what'd you do? Dad, you know what I did? What'd you do, boy? Dad, you know, it wasn't that bad. I didn't ask, what'd you do? Well, Dad, it wasn't... Son, look me in the eyes, what'd you do? Dad, I did this. And it was there that my father many times would meet me in love and help me and bless me and do whatever he could to help me get over that. But a lot of times when it comes to our walk with God, God asks us very point blank questions. He's not going to toy with you. What's the point of the Holy Ghost toying with you? He don't waste in time. Your life is precious to Him. You can't waste no time. He asks you honest questions that you'll give Him an honest answer. So not that He'll learn anything new, but that you'll have an honest analysis of where you stand in His sight. That's called the Holy Ghost. I've told this story to you before. I've been, you know, I got saved at 20. I got saved in October. Got filled with the Holy Ghost in November and called to preach on the same night. Amen. After I received the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, I all I know is Jesus, you know, Jesus died on that cross. Noah built that ark. And Moses, you know, he went to Egypt. And there was these 10 things that happened. And there was a Red Sea that opened up. Lord, I know that, but that's about as far as it got. He didn't care about that. He began to ask me questions periodically in my life. He began to say, why do you think that way? And I'll tell you, there was one time, pretty piously, I was right about everything. If it was going to be holiness, it was going to come through Derek Jones. I've told you, I've called up TBN and let them have it one time. I've chased people right down and let them know, look, this is what I think. If I heard about it in church, I was testifying about it. I remember one time my cousin gives me a hard time. He let something slip and I disagreed with. I said, well, straighten him out this service. Won't even ask to preach, but I preached. He got mad. Holy Ghost wasn't even in it. But I learned this, the Holy Ghost in His sovereignty, His power, and His dealings. He knows how to deal with you. He knows how to get you where He wants to get you. And it's up to you to respond to Him in the right way. I don't know about you. As our brothers already said, one day we're going to stand in front of the great white, not the white throne, but we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is going to analyze our lives. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be asked a lot of questions then. I'd like to get it right here tonight. We often say, what would it be like to be before the throne of God and say, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you yield more here? And why didn't you do that? Why would we wait to get there? The Holy Ghost is asking you the same questions right now. We often think that we're going to wait to the judgment seat of Christ to get it all straight. And then He's going to deal with us. And then, if the foundation still stands, I built with wood, hay, and stubble, at least there'll still be a foundation. No, sir. No, it wasn't. Hear me. God's going to ask you questions now. He tells us to examine ourselves now. He tells us to look where we are now. He tells us to analyze ourselves now. And we need to do that even here tonight. Everyone that's in this building, young and old. I was raised by one of the country's preachers. Didn't have a degree, but he had the Holy Ghost. I've shared this with some of you before. Brother Urban, he's not going to sit there and get into the Hebrew and Greek with you. He said, son, get out of my face with that. He wouldn't talk to you about it. Get gone. But I'll tell you what he would do. He'd speak to you underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost and it would melt your soul. I'm telling you, there's been preachers anointed coming through that pulpit before. When they point their finger at you, guarantee it's 5 foot long pointing right at you. It's almost 3D because the Lord was using them. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, thank God for knowledge. Thank God for wisdom. Thank God that we are a well-taught church. I know Brother Glenn's done so good at that, teaching well. And thank God for all that. I'm excited. It makes it a lot easier on me taking over as a pastor. I promise you that. God preached in untaught churches and it's miserable. But I will tell you this, we've got to do more than just have our dates right. Amen. And we're all in agreement on this. This ain't nothing but the Bible. That's just Scripture calling us to a higher life. We need to walk worthy of our vocation, of our calling. Now, have you ever heard of anybody? I know I hadn't given you a text and you won't get one tonight. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But you ever heard when a lawyer, like an elected official did something wrong? And, everybody knows about it because he's an elected official. And they'll make this sort of comment like this, that he did not walk worthy of his office. You see what I'm saying? Now, if a homeless man would have done the same thing, nobody cares. He's homeless. But when an elected official is put in a position, he is asked to live worthy. He puts his hand on the Bible in some areas. I don't know all the details about electing officials, but I do know this. He makes a statement in front of the people. I'm going to uphold the integrity of this office. And if it's a president, that's why the thing with Bill Clinton should sicken you when it happened years ago. And I'm sure it did. That's why with a lot of things that happen now in politics, we lose a lot of hope in them because they're not walking worthy of their calling and the position that they are in. But I'm going to tell you this, you have a higher calling than all of that. And you need to walk more worthy than all of them. It is sad that when you hear some of the statistics in the church, it's starting to match the world's. It's because we don't see our vocation and our calling as worthy of our hunger, desire, and 100% effort. You know, the divorce rate, you look at it in the church now, it's sickening. Beside the world's. You look at the fornication rate in the churches. Now, I'm not saying here, I'm saying in general. It'd shock you how many scandals have popped up in the holiness movement within the last 10 years. It'd blow your mind. You know why? Because we don't see the calling as a high calling. I don't know how God deals with every individual. And we're about to pray. I'm just exhorting tonight. And I don't know why God's led us this way, but He knows. I just feel great unction to do so. I don't know how God's dealt with everybody, but when I really got born again, there was something different. There wasn't this going back to the world because I felt like it. I got saved at a youth camp. When I got back home, I'm telling you one thing. There was an internal warfare where God wasn't giving up. I'm telling you, it was driving me to tears. I couldn't just go back and turn the TV on and watch what I wanted. No, the Holy Ghost was driving me. He was dealing with me. He was convicting me. I find myself weeping tears, sitting in a recliner. I find myself weeping tears, laying in a bed. And you know when He called me to preach, it intensified a million times over. I remember, and I've only shared this testimony with few. I can't remember all who I've told, maybe here. But I remember I didn't want to really preach in a full sense. I didn't understand. I was nervous. I was scared. Man, that 8-minute book report in my senior class was the toughest thing I've ever done before. I mean, and I didn't even... I mean, it was tough. 8 minutes. And I remember God called me to preach. And I just said, God, how am I fit for that? And He reminded me, I washed you in the blood of my Son. That makes you fit for it, son. You ain't got to climb up some religious ladder to please humanity. He said, you've been washed in the blood. You've been filled with the Spirit. I've given you a vocation. I've given you a calling. Walk after me. I remember I went through a tough time in my mind. I wrestled. I cried. And I even got within myself. And I don't share this with everybody because some people say, well, you back. Hush. I'll tell you how it is. God was dealing with me. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm nervous. Lord, my will, I'm still wrestling here. And I remember I went to a camp meeting. And I sat up there on the platform with the rest of the preachers. And I was just wrestling within. This is how it happened. Billy Harris says, I could take you to the spot where the Holy Ghost arrested me. All I can tell you is this, as I'm laying on my face and I'm having God speak to me like He only done one other time in my life, and that's when He called me to preach. He spoke to me directly. I remember when He called me to preach. Derek, I've called you to preach. I will protect you wherever you go. And those piercing words of my life, I thought I was schizophrenic until He said it again. I was laying on my face and I had determined when I went there, Lord, I can't do this. This is too much for me. I laid there on my face and I'll tell you this, if I did not feel like I could get up if I wanted to. And God spoke to me once again, this is the calling on your life. I'm going to make a way for you. Let me tell you what that is. That is the Holy Ghost. I got it from there. That don't mean you're never tempted. That don't mean the devil don't never fight you. And I wish nobody ever talked about you. Man, that's the great miracle of the wall of Jericho. They walked around that many times without talking. Well, you know, if it was us today, we'd be like, it's hot. I got to get in the AC. They did it in order. You know, I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost gives you marching orders, the best thing to do is zip it and walk and listen to His calling and understand the calling of your life. You're now called. That's the problem we got to give. We have people that come to church who never find a purpose, and because they don't have a purpose, they don't feel like there's nothing they need to protect in their life. When God called me to preach, I said, I'm going to protect that calling. I've had dreams before that something happened and they said I couldn't preach no more. And it haunted my heart. I'd wake up and say, Lord, I've got to preach. Why is it? Because it's in my heart. That's how I often tell ministers. How do you know if they're called to preach? I said, easy, they'll preach. They'll preach. If it's in a pulpit or a jailhouse or a nursing home, they're going to preach. That's a calling. Brothers and sisters, what I feel in my spirit tonight is this. What is your calling? What's your calling? And you know, it's a shame when God has to put it on hold because we don't yield. Who knows how many people have went to hell because somebody did not obey God? Because somebody did not listen to the whisper of the Spirit? Because somebody did not get hungry enough. How many people in our families will suffer? How many moms and dads have had children that went to the world? How many children have watched their parents choose what they want to do because they never found their calling in this life? And because they never found their calling, they never did the will of God. And because they didn't do the will of God, they will answer for it in eternity. Not saying God ain't merciful and can't forgive them, but I'll tell you this, when a man like men that we read about in history who were pioneers and went all out for God to see the gospel purchased, you know what? I'd be ashamed to stand beside the Charles Wesleys. I'd be ashamed to stand beside the George Whitfields. I'd be ashamed to stand beside other men who went on the mission fields, the Adoniram Judsons, because those men sold out for a cause and weren't worthy of their calling. I have a piece of paper here tonight. And I usually use notes, but here's my notes tonight. It simply says, what holds us back? That's all I could get. I was praying the other day out here. And Brother Glenn has had these piece of papers on here for a quiz, most likely. Maybe on Wednesday night. I wrote right up there, what holds us back? Because that's what the Holy Ghost was asking me in private prayer the other day. I don't know what it is sometimes, but you know you need to do more, and I know we need to do more together. Please, please agree in that. Because when a church operates in agreeance, the devil can't stand it. He hates it. What's your calling? What's holding you back? You have to let the Holy Ghost propel you into what He wants you to be. I've had several men, different women, that come up to me in the churches. It's a few weeks ago at youth camp, since those three received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've had several come up to me and said, "I'm hungry, brother." And I've said, "Hunger on. Hunger on. Until God fills you to the uttermost." Amen? How many wants to do the will of God? Can I get 100% on that tonight? How many wants to do the will of God? Church, what holds us back? We live in Newport News and Hampton, and I believe Brother Morris's church on the other side of the water is about the only other conservative church that I know of. There may be others around here that I don't know of as far as holiness churches, men of like vision. But I thought to myself even recently, I said, between me and Brother Morris's church, there's probably every bit of 1 million people on this peninsula. We've got our work cut out for us. Now, I'm not saying God can't use other avenues if He had to. God shocked us all when He used a rooster and a donkey. Amen. He can use a whale to swallow Jonah's. I know that. He can get men's attention in gutters if He has to. He can take lightning bolts and shake the asphalt around them and make them look up, and He can show them a vision. God can do that. But we know He uses His church. We've got our work cut out for us. That's all I feel in my spirit. What holds us back? We've got our work cut out for us. And I know the Holy Ghost is calling us higher. And I believe there's going to be an increase of Holy Ghost conviction as the days draw nigh. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those. He says, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Now, right now, some of you feel in your spirit, "Lord, here am I. Send them." Don't do that. "Here am I. Send me." Can you stand to your feet all over this church? A few years ago, and we're going to pray. Several years ago, when I lived in Edenton, North Carolina, there was a young man by the name of Brian who was raised in a Baptist church. And if you lived in Edenton, Rocky Hawk Baptist is the big Baptist church around there. They run about 500 or 600. And they're worldly as all get out. I mean, they're sipping saints and all the other dancing saints and everything else. And Brian would come up to me and say, "I don't feel right about that stuff." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Man, the deacons get drunk as skunks on the weekends and come to church on Sundays." And I please hope nobody, don't come in here and say, "Oh, that's all right. Please, you can get out if you like. We don't believe in that here." He said, "They live like the devil, Brother Derek." And he said, "What is it about Pentecost that is different?" I said, "The Holy Ghost." "I knew you'd say that." I said, "It's real." I remember for hours, I remember sitting in his driveway. Boy, I took him to John 14, 15, and 16, Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Romans chapter 8. Boy, I was giving him the Pentecost rundown. I gave him the whole sermonette, everything that come with it. He got the whole thing that night. Now, he ended up going to a different church, and that's between him and the Lord. He didn't have to come where I was going. And I disagree with him in a lot of areas. But I will tell you this. That rascal is brave. To the place is convicting. Because here it is. I showed a Baptist boy what Pentecost was. And even though I could tell you, if you want to know the disagreements, we'll sit down and talk. I disagree with him in a lot of areas. But I'll tell you this, boy. You see him downtown Eaton, not a bit of pride in him with a cardboard sign. "I give out. I pray for people right here." I mean, you see him in the jailhouses. You see him in the nursing homes. You see him at the Baptist church. You see him at the Methodist church. You see him on the street corner. You see him in the coffee shop. Brian's everywhere. I disagree with some of the things he says and does sometimes. But I will tell you this. His zeal is convicting. And there's been a few times I thought, "Lord, here I am." I pointed a boy towards Pentecost. And I know the truth. I've been raising it a lot longer than he has, different things. I said, "Lord, can I not have maybe equal zeal?" I'll tell you this, if we had a quarter of the zeal that boy had, Hampton wouldn't know what hit him. On fire. What I'm trying to say is this. Let's do the will of God. Amen? Now, I know this is different tonight. There's no music and it's just kind of us. You're looking at me. I'm looking at you. How you doing? Praise the Lord. God's good. I didn't talk to you for 20 or 30 minutes about something with no notes. I've talked to you about hunger. But how many really means it in their heart that they want more of God? They want to do His will. Can we simply do this tonight? We're not going to have music. I know that sometimes it takes us 2 minutes to get over to that. But listen, for some maybe, let's get in these altars and pray. Can we do that and talk to God? I mean, appreciate what God's already doing. Amen. God faithful. I'm not one bit trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you this, that God has more for us. God has more for us. I sat down at a table this week and we're going to pray with two boys I was raised with. Both of them, one's a pastor and another's a youth pastor. I looked at them. You know what the words I said to them? I hope God blesses you. I hope God uses you. Ain't a bit of competition in me. I hope God uses you. I hope God uses you and does things for you. Amen. Come find you a place to pray in the altars. Pray where